From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of November 2017. I'm Todd Gleason, out of the office today, hosting the Farm Assets Conference in Bloomington Normal. We will not have an update of the commodity markets and the live trade from the CME Group in Chicago this afternoon. However, we will talk about the commodity markets with Dave Chatterton. He's from the Powerline Group right here in Champaign. He'll help us take a look at both the agricultural energies and the agricultural commodities. We'll dip into the NAFB interviews that we did a couple of weeks ago at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, too. And we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A reminder that I'm out of the office this afternoon, actually, hosting the Farm Assets Conference in Bloomington Normal. So this part of the program was recorded earlier. We're now joined by Dave Chatterton. He is from the Powerline Group right here in Champaign. Dave, thanks for taking some time with us to have a bit of a longer discussion. You normally talk about the agricultural energies with us. I want to start with your view of the commodity markets because your organization, of course, also covers those. Where do we stand, in your opinion, broadly with corn and soybeans after USDA's last WASDE and crop production report? From a couple of weeks ago.
Well, it's a pretty interesting situation, Todd, and unfortunately it's interesting more a little bit from the bearish or the short side of the market. The USDA served up a pretty bearish outlook on not only U.S. yield and production, but also global supply generally and where things stand in a year where both domestic and global stocks continue to either hold serve at very high historic levels or even grow in the case of soybeans. So we're left with a market that is looking for a reason, I think, to bottom and maybe to turn, and so far is lacking in that. It's a situation where it's going to take some kind of a catalyst, I think, to see a turn in the market. There's not any rule or hard, fast reason that we couldn't trade lower in terms of price from where we're at right now, but it looks like the market's kind of come to terms with, okay, we've got a record corn yield, we've got record bean production in the U.S., we know what's pretty much going on in South America in terms of acreage and what their potential is going to be, at least early in the crop season. Where do we go from here? And so the market is looking to solve that question. But we're going to need, I mean, when it comes down to it, we either need a weather event that decreases production somewhere around the world, or we need a situation where, for whatever reason, we see investment and capital flow come towards commodities as opposed to away from them. And with the performance of the stock and the equity complexes that we've seen here of late, it's been a tough go in that regard. And so I guess we're sitting around looking at what could be a very long, kind of drawn-out winter with the producer sitting on an awful lot of stored grain.
So you're suggesting then it's simply base building, and whether it breaks to the top or the bottom is more likely to the top, in your opinion, but there is room for downward movement. What kind of range are we talking about for the primary commodities? Do you have a set?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at corn, I mean, if we're looking at March, corn is kind of taking over the lead contract from the December futures. You're probably talking about, without a weather event in South America, you're probably going to cap yourself out around that 365 to 370 type of range. On the downside, that March contract, you know, as recently as last week, traded down to, you know, 347, 348 type of a number. So roughly 350 to 3, you know, let's say 75 in that March. It's going to be tough to look for, if you lay the rationale beside the equation of what gets us a big rally in these markets and what gets these funds to cover what is now a record short position or in the corn complex, we're going to have to make the case for that before they jump. I think the durability of our yield, as demonstrated last year in a very tough year where we had a record amount of replant in a tough spring, tough wet spring, we had a very dry summer, yet we were able to produce a record yield. The amount of weather premium or risk premium, if you prefer, that traders or that market followers are going to be willing to inject into the futures trade is going to be somewhat subdued or less aggressive than what it has been in the past. If you turn to beans real quick, if you look at, let's say, that January contract, we've had very tough sailing above that $10 area, and I think that's going to continue to be the case. So 10 is the top of that range versus a print in the mid, you know, lower 990s here this week. If you go back again and look at where we bottomed out here of late, the bottom of that range is something in the order of 970. So we're banging around inside of those ranges, a little closer to the top in the beans, a little closer to the bottom in corn.
Looking forward, it's about South American weather. Or do you have concerns about either the Argentine or Brazilian crop, whether that be that they might be very big or that the weather at this point could be cutting into one of the or the other of them?
Yeah, I think going forward, we're going to watch two things very closely in the market. One's going to be the pace of our export sales and shipments here out of the U.S., Secondly, but also in addition to that is going to be the South American weather. There's been some dryness building in central Argentina. They have some rains in the forecast here this week and over the next 36 hours and then, you know, another shot over the weekend. But in general, that forecast looks to say drier than normal going forward. And, of course, there's been a good deal of La Nina talk and La Nina building talk going forward here into the winter months and early of next year. So it's something that we definitely need to watch. At this point, there's not a lot of meat on that bone to work with. Things have improved in Brazil. The acreage profile looks like it's going to be very solid for beans. Corn, we may have a little bit of an issue with the winter corn crop for them. Due to the lateness of the bean crop, it may take a few acres away. But at this point, you know, there's not a lot of teeth in that story at the moment. Again, that's one of those things that we're waiting on if we're going to get this turn or get this bounce in the market.
Are you satisfied with the United States Department of Agriculture's export market for soybeans and the number that it produced in the November WASDE? It is a fairly large number to try to meet.
It definitely is, and of course that's been a big concern that's stood in the way of any kind of fund length coming into the market here, is that the export pace, our shipments pace is actually on par, maybe just slightly ahead of where we were last year, but our sales pace continues to lag, and that's in the face of a USDA annual export projection that's larger than last year and needs to increase. So the pace that we're at right now, we're actually going to need record weekly sales we're going to need an export sales pace that is above and beyond the pace that we were at last year just to get to that USDA projection. So there is definitely some concern there, and there's, you know, the Brazilian and in particular export competition that we had earlier in the crop year that took away a little bit of our market share at harvest time here, has eaten into that potential, and it looks like an uphill battle going forward.
Any final note on the agricultural commodities before we turn to the agricultural energies?
You know, Ty, like I said, I think it's a situation where, as a producer, a lot of grain got put away at harvest. Have a plan, be ready to execute, have your orders in, whether those are cash orders, whether those are futures and option orders on the Chicago Board of Trade, and set your sights at a reasonable level. We have to look at a situation where we have a large pool of supply as a very good cushion against a price impact. And without, you know, a strong stimulus on that standpoint, it's not that we can't improve off of where we're at in both a basis and a cash standpoint, or a basis and a future standpoint, but those sights have to be probably a little bit lower than they are historically. If your historical basis usually gets to 10 over in March, you may have to look at 5 to 7 to 8 over. If you think futures can normally get to a certain rally, you may have to look a little bit below that in order to compete with what's going to be a lot of grain, both in the U.S. and South America, that wants to move on a price rally.
Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies, Dave. At the end of the month, OPEC will meet. What are the potential implications of this meeting for oil prices?
Well, anytime OPEC meets, we always have a big, they carry a pretty big stick, and so what they do and what they say can be different things, but certainly the market will be watching closely and reacting to that. We're going to filter into that meeting with what are almost, you know, near record longs in the oil complex. So the crude oil, the distillates, the heating oil, the gasoline, et cetera, especially all combined, we're lugging some pretty good fund length into this market. OPEC has put themselves, well, they're a little bit boxed into a corner, as their current production cuts will expire at the end of March. And they've talked relentlessly, at least until recently, and recently being last week, about extending those production cuts through the end of the year. Late last week, and as it stands today, we've got a little bit of a defection on our hands here, where Russia says they would prefer to wait until we get maybe a little closer to the end of March before we extend those cuts. So that's put a little bit of pressure to the downside on the oil complex. And without those extensions, that's really the only thing that the market, the trade market or the long in the market is going to be satisfied in terms of what the outcome of the OPEC meeting.
Farmers and others are always interested in diesel stocks. Where do we stand?
Well, unfortunately, we're coming down, and stocks continue to decline as winter approaches here. If you go back and go back in time a little bit to the middle of the summer, the middle of June, we had U.S. distillate inventories, which includes diesel fuel and the transport fuels, basically at the high end or almost above the five-year average. We come forward here to the middle of November, and we're actually almost at the bottom end of that five-year average. We've had a very sharp decline. We've had a hurricane in there. We've had some refinery disruptions, but in general, what we've had is very good demand, both domestically and exports, and our export numbers continue to set records here. So our distillate stocks right now as we enter the winter are below last year, and we're looking at about a 16% year-on-year deficit. And, of course, we've had the price increase that's gone along with that.
Where do we stand on propane?
Propane is in a similar situation. Our year-to-date inventories there are still below where they were a year ago. We're about 26% behind our stocks from last year. Prices posted a new high at the wholesale or the pipeline market last week. Of course, that's going to filter down into what we see in our retail prices here in central Illinois or in the Midwest in general. And so, it's a situation where it's been a little bit of a tough road going forward. The premium in that market is not likely to relax or see much price bleed out until we get a little further into the season and see how cold the temperatures are, see what the demand profile looks like.
We often talk about exports in the commodity markets, and we do export now, or at least we have been recently. Agricultural energies, or just energies in general, does that play very much in this marketplace?
Certainly it does. I mean, we've always looked at, ethanol as kind of a hybrid between where we're, the energy and the grain markets, but specifically, the things have really changed in the U.S. from the oil complex or the oil standpoint in the last 5 years. You've had, record U.S. Domestic production of crude oil as the shale revolution has come on. With that, we've got some of the best refineries and most efficient refineries in the world. And as the export market has opened up, we're actually seeing, both in the case of propane and in diesel fuel, very strong export demand for our products. So to give you to quantify that, let's say for distillate fuel or for diesel fuel, you're talking about exports that are averaging around 1.5 million barrels a day. That's about a 35% or 400,000 barrel per day increase over the pace that we were doing just last year. And that's 1.5 million barrels every day that goes out of our domestic supply and doesn't come back and doesn't become part of our supply pool here. So the world is actually coming to the U.S. looking for these products. And we'd love them to be taking more grain right now, but it seems that there's a higher interest in some of the energy products at this particular time.
Dave, thanks so very much for taking a lot of time with us today.
Todd, my pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there.
That, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign County.